This is the second part of the story of the elephant's child. Elephant's child has just asked the crocodile what he has for dinner. "Come hither, little one," said the crocodile, "and I'll whisper." Then the elephant's child put his head down close to the crocodile's musky, tusky mouth. And the crocodile caught him by his little nose. Which up to that very week, day, hour, and minute had been no bigger than a boot, though much more useful. "I think," said the crocodile, and he said it between his teeth like this,
"I think today I will begin with elephant's child."
At this, O best beloved, the elephant's child was much annoyed, and he said, speaking through his nose, like this,
"Let go! You are hurting me!"
Then the bicolored python rock snake scuffled down from the bank and said,
"My young friend, if you do not now, immediately and instantly, pull as hard as ever you can, it is my opinion that your acquaintance in the large pattern leather ulster," and by this he meant the crocodile, "will jerk you into yonder limpid stream before you can say Jack Robinson." This is the way bicolored python rock snakes always talk.
Then the elephant's child sat back on his little haunches and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose began to stretch. And the crocodile floundered into the water, making it all creamy with great sweeps of his tail. And he pulled and pulled and pulled. And the elephant's child's nose kept on stretching. And the elephant's child spread all his little four legs and pulled and pulled and pulled, and his nose kept on stretching. And the crocodile threshed his tail like an oar. And he pulled and pulled and pulled. And at each pull, the elephant's child's nose grew longer and longer, and it hurt him hideous. Then the elephant's child felt his legs slipping, and he said through his nose, which was now nearly 5 feet long,
"This is too much for me."
Then the bicolored python rock snake came down from the bank and knotted himself in a double clove hitch round the elephant's child's hind legs and said,
"Rash and inexperienced traveler, we will now seriously devote ourselves to a little high tension, because if we do not, it is my impression that yonder self-propelling man of war with the armor-plated upper deck,"
and by this, O best beloved, he meant the crocodile,
"will permanently vitiate your future career."
That is the way all bicolored python rock snakes always talk. So he pulled, and the elephant's child pulled, and the crocodile pulled, but the elephant's child and the bicolored python rock snake pulled hardest. And at last, the crocodile let go of the elephant's child's nose with a plop that you could hear all up and down the Limpopo. Then the elephant's child sat down, most hard and sudden. But first he was careful to say, "Thank you," to the bicolored python rock snake. And next he was kind to his poor pulled nose,
and wrapped it all up in cool banana leaves and hung it in the great gray-green greasy Limpopo to cool. "What are you doing that for?" said the bicolored python rock snake.
"Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but my nose is badly out of shape, and I am waiting for it to shrink."
"Then you'll have to wait a long time," said the bicolored python rock snake. "Some people do not know what is good for them." The elephant's child sat there for 3 days waiting for his nose to shrink. But it never grew any shorter. And besides, it made him squint. For, oh, best beloved, you will see and understand that the crocodile had pulled it out into a really, truly trunk, same as all elephants have today. At the end of the third day, a fly came and stung him on the shoulder. And before he knew what he was doing, he lifted up his trunk and hit that fly dead with the end of it.
"Vantage number one," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Try and eat a little now."
Before he thought what he was doing, the elephant's child put out his trunk and plucked a large bundle of grass, dusted it clean against his forelegs, and stuffed it into his own mouth.
"Vantage number two," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Don't you think the sun is very hot here?"
"It is," said the elephant's child. And before he thought what he was doing, he schlooped up a schloop of mud from the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo and slapped it on his head, where it made a cool, schloopy, sloshy mud cap, all trickly behind his ears.
"Vantage number three," said the bicolored python rock snake. "You couldn't have done that with a mere smear nose. Now, how do you feel about being spanked again?"
"Excuse me," said the elephant's child, "but I should not like it at all."
"How would you like to spank somebody?" said the bicolored python rock snake.
"I should like it very much indeed," said the elephant's child.
"Well," said the bicolored python rock snake, "you will find that new nose of yours very useful to spank people with."
"Thank you," said the elephant's child. "I'll remember that. And now I think I'll go home to all my dear families and try."
So the elephant's child went home across Africa, frisking and whisking his trunk. When he wanted fruit to eat, he pulled fruit down from a tree instead of waiting for it to fall, as he used to do. When he wanted grass, he plucked grass up from the ground instead of going on his knees, as he used to do. When the flies bit him, he broke off the branch of a tree and used it as a fly whisk. And he made himself a new, cool, slushy, squishy mud cap whenever the sun was hot. When he felt lonely walking through Africa, he sang to himself down his trunk, and the noise was louder than several brass bands. He went especially out of his way to find a broad hippopotamus, as she was no relation of his, and he spanked her very hard to make sure that the bicolored python rock snake had spoken the truth about his new trunk. The rest of the time, he picked up the melon rinds that he had dropped on his way to the Limpopo, for he was a tidy pachyderm. One dark evening,
he came back to all his dear families, and he coiled up his trunk and said, "How do you do?" They were very glad to see him, and immediately said, "Come here and be spanked for your satiable curiosity."
"Pooh,"
said the elephant's child, "I don't think you peoples know anything about spanking, but I do, and I'll show you." Then he uncurled his trunk and knocked two of his dear brothers head over heels.
"Oh, bananas," said they. "Where did you learn that trick? And what have you done to your nose?"
"I got a new one from the crocodile on the banks of the great gray, green, greasy Limpopo River," said the elephant's child. "I asked him what he had for dinner, and he gave me this to keep."
"It looks very ugly," said his hairy uncle, the baboon.
"It does," said the elephant's child, "but it's very useful." And he picked up his hairy uncle, the baboon, by one hairy leg and hove him into a hornet's nest. Then that bad elephant's child spanked all his dear families for a long time, till they were very warm and greatly astonished. He pulled out his tall ostrich aunt's tail feathers. And he caught his tall uncle, the giraffe, by the hind leg and dragged him through a thorn bush. And he shouted at his broad aunt, the hippopotamus, and blew bubbles into her ear when she was sleeping in the water after meals. But he never let anyone touch Cola Cola Bird. At last things grew so exciting that his dear families went off one by one in a hurry to the banks of the great gray-green greasy Limpopo River, all set about with fever trees, to borrow new noses from the crocodile. When they came back, nobody spanked anybody anymore. And ever since that day, oh, best beloved, all the elephants you will ever see, besides all those that you won't, have trunks precisely like the trunk of the satiable elephant's child.